so much, Chancellor Carr, for the beautiful anthem, beautiful arrangement of a hymn that is so full of good teaching of who we are as the Church of Jesus Christ and who our foundation is, Christ Jesus our Lord. As we prepare to reflect on this mighty and matchless word of our Lord today, let us once again go before him in prayer. And now, O Lord, may the words of our mouths and the meditations of all of our hearts be found acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock, our strength, and our Redeemer. If through the words of this human being we do not hear your voice, O God, we pray that you would come in your own gentle and special way and speak to each of us here in the quietness of our hearts. Amen. Today in Mark's Gospel, we continue journeying through our series on gratitude and generosity. Two words that the Lord was giving me at the end of last year to ease us into this new calendar year, to guide us as a congregation and as followers of Jesus Christ. We are so aware of his gratitude and generosity towards us, and we can't help but respond with gratitude and generosity as well. And I find it so interesting in Mark's Gospel. Mark is the shortest of the gospel writers. He is very compact, very concise, and everything in Mark's gospel happens quickly. And I'm fascinated by it. It's probably the first gospel that was written of the four gospels. And I'm fascinated by it because I'm wondering, when Mark was trying to say, okay, these are the essentials of what I want to tell about Jesus' story, this is what I want to be told for generations to come, how did he narrow it down? And why did he put it in the order that he did? We could ask that of any gospel writer, but because Mark had so little space to tell it in, why did he do it in this way? Well, what has happened so far in Mark's gospel is so interesting because we meet John the Baptist, Jesus is baptized, he goes into the wilderness for 40 days and is tempted of Satan, and then he calls his disciples, and then today's episode happens. So a lot has happened, but not much has happened either. This is Jesus' first miracle. This is the first time we hear of him teaching in public somewhere. Right after he comes out of the wilderness, he calls his disciples, and he does something that all of us are doing right now, if you're in the building or if you're joining us on the Facebook live stream or on the radio. He went to the gathering. Jesus went to the gathering. He went to the worship service closest to him. He went to the time of teaching, and that is what all of us are doing. The synagogue that Jesus went to is mainly about teaching, but that is what we are doing here as well. We have gotten up this morning, and we have come together to worship our Lord. Jesus did what he was taught to do. He did what he knew to do. He went to Capernaum, and the Sabbath came, and he went to the synagogue, and he began to teach. And this is where things take an unexpected spin. Up until now, Jesus has appeared, he's been baptized, he's gone into the wilderness, he's called the disciples, and nothing has been predictable about Jesus yet, but what happens in church is the most unpredictable thing of all that has happened so far. Because Jesus goes in, and all he does is speak. All he does is teach the word. All he does is teach the scriptures that everybody in that room was familiar with. He gets up and he starts teaching, but it's not the way that it's been told before. There's something different about the way Jesus is speaking, and as a result of that, a healing takes place right there in his midst. And we're not going to spend a lot of time talking about what that healing was and what an unclean spirit is. That's another subject for another day, but let me just say this, friends, because like I said a few weeks ago when we talked about being baptized in the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit is on the move, as he was in this particular story, in Jesus' presence, miracles happen. You never know when a miracle is going to happen. In fact, miracles are happening all around us all the time. The question is, are we looking for them? Are we seeing them? But sometimes God moves in a way mightier than we could ever imagine. The Holy Spirit moves in a way that we never could expect. And what Jesus is asking us is, don't you realize how generous I am towards you with my miracles? I'm generous with you, towards you with my love. I'm generous towards you. And you can be set free. You can be made whole. And that is what happens when Jesus is speaking. Somebody who was there in the synagogue cries out, "What are you doing here? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are." And Jesus rebukes the spirit and says, "Be silent and come out of him." I will say this about the man that Jesus heals. He was tormented. He was living in a place of mental anguish. Has anybody ever been in a place of mental anguish before, or of physical turmoil or emotional instability? What we see happen here, this is not just a man who is a little bit anxious that day. There is something that is crippling him. And friends, we live in a day and time where the enemy is just determined to make us feel down, to draw us away from the light and the life of Jesus. And we live in a broken world where we experience sickness, where we experience pain, where we experience heartache, where we experience anxiety, and none of these things are of Jesus. But Jesus comes to us as we gather. Jesus comes to us as we pray, as one with authority. And that same, and that authority, when he spoke and when he prayed, is what brought peace to that person that was there. And so I bring the story before you today because that same authority rests with us. And I want to ask you something today. As United Methodists, we commit to the life of this congregation by committing our prayers. That is one of the first things that we commit to, is our prayers. And I want to stop and ask you about how you pray, because there are a lot of different ways we can pray. When you are awake with a puppy in the middle of the night, or a baby in the middle of the night, and there is that whimpering and that crying, can you tell I didn't get much sleep last night? When you have that little thing, when you have something like that happen, it might be a desperate prayer of, okay, Lord, please just let everything be quiet so I can get some sleep. And it may not even be for a puppy. You may just be awake with the worries of the world, feel like they're weighing on your shoulders. You may be in a place of physical pain where you're like, God, will this ever end? How long will this end? And friends, there is a time and a place for the prayers of lament. There is a time and a place. God hears the desperate prayers. God hears the cries of affliction, and we don't need to shy away from praying those. And as we pray those, notice what we have here. Jesus has given us all the authority in his name. We started the service by singing, "All hail the power of Jesus' name," for a reason. That's because Jesus' name has given us the power we need to pray with confidence and with authority. Because you see, Jesus just walked into the synagogue and he spoke. He began to speak the word. He was the word made flesh, but he spoke the word. And the Holy Spirit moved in that place and brought about healing. And that is what happens when we pray with authority as well. And so I want to encourage you, as you in this new year, in this new season, as we think about what it means to be a grateful and a generous people. The grateful and the generous people are the ones who know how to pray with authority. And that is to say, Lord Jesus, you said in your word that anything that is bothering me needs to be silenced. Thank you, Jesus, that by your word, what is bothering me must be silenced. Lord Jesus, please cast out from me that which is holding me back from everything. Lord, for my loved one who is in pain, please silence that pain that they are going through. Please silence those voices that they're hearing. Lord, friends, what Jesus is showing us here, we can go into any part of the scripture and choose a verse and say, Lord Jesus, you said, Lord Jesus, in your name, you said this. Because if we truly believe what we say we believe, friends, we've got the authority. Jesus has given us the authority that he spoke with. The book of Ephesians tells us that we are seated with him in heavenly places. And the very last chapter of Mark's gospel, I love what Mark does at the very end of his gospel. Jesus appears to the disciples after his resurrection, and he tells them, I have given you all authority. I have given you all authority. So before he ascended into heaven, Jesus said, this is what I have given to you. I am giving you not just the confidence to pray. I'm not just giving you the ability to pray. I'm giving you the authority to call heaven into the earth. And so, friends, when we pray for our needs, the needs of our church and for our world, it may seem like, how can we even begin to pray for something so big? Nothing is too big for God, friends, and nothing is too big for the name of Jesus. What Jesus is asking us is, will you trust me a little bit more? Will your confidence grow a little bit more? So I want to encourage you as you go into this week to find some passages of scripture, to take this passage of scripture and begin praying. Not just, yes, we want to give thanks to God. We want to repent of our sin. We want to hold before God any needs that we have. We want to do all of those things when we pray, but always include in your prayers a portion of scripture and say, Jesus, you said all authority has been given in your name. And so I call upon that name that peace would rule and reign in my household. That Jesus, peace would rule and reign in my heart today. That your joy would overcome the sorrow. That weeping may endure for the night, but joy come in the morning. These are just examples. But friends, we are called as the body of Christ to do what the body of Christ did when he was here on earth, which is to speak and to say and to speak God's word, to live God's word, to say God's word. And if you are a committed believer and follower of Jesus, that is what you have the authority and the ability to do. And we can see marvelous and miraculous things happen. Because friends, every great revival, be it the revivals that we hear of in the headlines or the small revivals that take place in the hidden places, in churches across this nation and across this world, every revival, every movement begins with God's people praying with confidence, with God's people praying. And if you don't feel like you have the confidence, ask Jesus for it. Ask him, Lord, give me even more confidence. Where I'm lacking faith, give me faith. Where I am lacking security, give me security, Lord. We can always ask him for more of that which he has already given to us. And one of the things that I'm so excited about in the life of this congregation is that months ago, there was a movement that already began, and I have, within this church, many movements. We've got Sunday school classes, we've got small groups, we've got prayer services, we have friend groups here that have been getting together and praying. I know that prayers have been offered in these small little circles, and little sparks of light have been lit throughout this congregation. And let me remind you something, friends, where Jesus said, two or three, that's all it takes, where two or three are gathered in my name. And months ago, there was a group that got together for love and support and for prayer together, and it's now called the Revive Group. And I haven't been to Revive in far too long. Leroy may have to join Revive with me join me there at some point so he can be revived as well. But it's a group that gets together now, and it's evolved over the past few months. But the thing that I love about this group is that it started in the spirit of prayer and of support. And that is where movements begin. And there is a movement that began there that's begun to spread throughout our church and has sparked other movements. And some of this is seen, some of it is not seen. But friends, this is how Jesus moves. Not always in the big, flashy ways. Something big happened in the synagogue that day because he spoke. And so how much more will he do today as we speak in our prayers, as we speak his word in confidence? And what I love seeing with the group called Revive here is that there is revival happening right here. And it's not meant to be contained within the walls of this church. The Holy Spirit is on the move in this community, and we need to join up with that. But it begins with believing, with truly believing what we say we believe. Can God make beauty out of ashes? Absolutely. Can God turn what was bad into something good? He's done it for 2,000 years. I think he can do it again in our midst. So whatever you are going through in life today, God's revival fire is ready and waiting. And so let us, as we prepare to hear from Elizabeth on what is happening in the Revive Group with today's glory sighting, let us remember that the same power that's on the move in this story today is right here. My question for you is, do you truly believe it? Will you truly pray it? And will you truly embrace the authority of the name above every name, the name by which everyone is saved who calls on the name of the Lord? And that is where the great awakening starts. Let us be awakened today as we hear one area that God is on the move in the life of our church, and may it spread, may it move, and may we grow stronger each and every day from that same spirit on the move among us today. Let us now hear from Elizabeth on the work of the Revive Group.
I appreciate having this opportunity to just say a word about the experience that I have been a part of over the last 10 months or so. You know the story about the mustard seed? A little tiny mustard seed grows into a great big tree. And that is the way faith works. And that is the way God works among us and among his people. And I have experienced that firsthand. Back when things were so uncertain, Jane Caston called me and she said, I just don't know what's going on, but I just need to talk about it. Six friends gathered around her table and said, you know, what do we do? We don't know what to do, but let's see if there's anybody else. Everybody invite a friend. So we met the next week, and everybody invited a friend. So we had 12 people in that room. And then without even asking, every week, the numbers grew, just like the mustard tree grows. And as we gathered together on Tuesday nights, we confessed, we mourned, we got angry, we even celebrated from time to time. But throughout it, we were together, we prayed, and we felt something beginning to grow among us. It was love, and it was hope, and it was determination, it was faith, and it was the promise of joy. Then the time came when we were able to move to the church. And we have been meeting every Tuesday night, except when it ices and Christmas. We say, well, do we want to meet? Oh, yes, let's have a meeting. Well, there won't be many here. Well, 16 or 18 people show up. I don't know. It's never the same, 16 or 18 or 19 or 20. But it's whoever feels in her or his heart that that's where they need to be on a Tuesday night. And we come together, and we just are open to the Spirit. I do a little agenda, and it's just worthless. I will tell you, I look at it, and I say, this agenda doesn't say anything, and it doesn't. But we get there, and I'll tell you, something happens in those meetings. Now, am I making this up? If you have ever been to a Revive meeting, would you just raise your hand? Because I just wonder, would y'all just look around this room? And it is open to anybody. If you ever feel like, I just need to be with some friends, I've got something on my heart I need to talk about. I've got something I think we need to do. I've got something I'm mad about. I have something I need to just celebrate. Whatever your need is, whatever your desire for sharing with fellow Christians, you can join us at Revive. And I will tell you, we have no membership roles. We have no dues. We have no set agenda, set business. We have no constitution. We really don't even have any officers. They asked me if I would just say we're starting and we're ending, and that's kind of what I do. Gloria Bunnell has been kind enough to accept the role of teacher for us, and she leads us in wonderful studies, and we are just now ready to start a new one called Unrelenting Grace by Kenneth Carter, and I think that it is going to be excellent. And if you're interested, then we invite you to come. We start at 5:30 on Tuesday nights, and we try to end it. We try to be to honor the 6:30 conclusion. That's the hardest part. That's the hardest part, because we don't ever want to stop. And that speaks, I think, for the need that we have to be together. So I just praise God for that. I think being a part of Revive has helped me to feel like I'm a part of the early Methodist movement, when people met in class meetings and homes, and they prayed together, and they said, how is it with your soul? And they shared honestly together. And that is what we have done, and the Holy Spirit moves among us. We have some joyful times, and we have some times of lament. But it's always, we go away richer, for the Spirit has moved us. So please come if you need to be with a group at any Tuesday night. We'll be here at 5:30.